Well, good morning. As I mentioned earlier, it is a new year, and so we have an opportunity to look into God's Word and see what He has to say to us. And so in this new year, I want for you to seek out Christ, to learn about who He is, and to follow Him all the days of your life. In the book of 1 John, it's amazing how God works these things out. It's a rather appropriate message that just kind of came in line for today and what God has for us. And so we're going to pick up where we had left off. Last time we were in 1 John, we looked at 1 John chapter 2, and we looked at this teaching that John had to the different groups of the church and encouraging them in the church. And then he moves on after that encouragement to deal with the world. Now, it's interesting. He says for us to avoid the world or to not love the world in this message or in this text. But I thought God loved the world. So what do we do with that? What do we do with when John tells us in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, yet in John 1 John chapter 2, he tells us to avoid loving the world. What in the world is he talking about? How in the world do we reconcile these two? Well, I think if we look at it, John is talking about two different things here. When he talks about God loving the world, that he gave his only son for them, he is demonstrating for them that God loves people and that we too should love people, that we should be about people, we should care about people, we should love people as well. And in that loving, that we should, just as God gave his son, we should offer his son to them as well. But then in 1 John, he starts to talk about loving the world. And now he's shifted. He's not talking about people anymore. He's not talking about we should love people. John is not telling us do not love people. That is contrary to what Jesus says. Jesus says to love everyone and to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. So that is totally antithetical to what Jesus teaches. And so John is not being contrary to Jesus. Rather, what John is doing, he's saying you need to be careful that you don't fall into caring about and loving about the ethics and the values and the passions of those who don't know Christ. When he talks about the world here, he's talking about people who don't know Christ, and he's not saying don't love them individually, but what he's saying is don't pursue the same things that they pursue. Don't pursue the same passions. Don't pursue the same ethical understandings of life. Don't pursue the world. And so this morning, I want us to look at this. And he's going to contrast loving the world versus loving God. And in this new year, in the first week of this new year, you get to make a decision. You get to make a choice. Am I going to love and pursue the things of the world, the passions of the world, the desires of the world, the ethics of the world? Or am I going to love and pursue the things of God, the passions of God, the ethics of God, the values of God? And so we're at a crossword. We either choose one or the other. And so today I want to offer you that choice. And in the new year, what are you going to do? How are you going to choose? So let's look at what John teaches, what John commands us in 1 John chapter 2. He picks up in verse 15. And John says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. or rather do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride in one lifestyle is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And if the world with its lust is passing away, and the world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will remains forever. This morning I want to give to you two main points, but under the first point, I want to talk about these different aspects or these different things that we have here. And the first thing I want us to talk about is that we need to avoid the desires of the world. Avoid the desires of the world. John is going to isolate them into three categories, and he named them for us. And he talks about these three categories, and so I want to give them to you. And I want to talk about each of those. The ethics of the world, the passion of fellow men, they are very tempting to the believer because they are fully devoted to the Spirit, pursue. They are what is inerrant to us that makes us desire pursuing after things of the world. And so, the first thing he tells us to avoid is the desire of the flesh. We need to avoid the desires of the flesh. And so we ask the question, what are the desires of the flesh? And we normally, or oftentimes, we go toward sexual impurity. We think, oh, that's the desire of the flesh. It must be sexual because that is generally what many times the flesh desires. And so it could include that, but you need to understand that John is going further than just sexual desires. John is not just talking about the desires of the flesh being sexual desires. And so he's gonna contrast these things. He wants us to know that what is the flesh? Paul uses the flesh, the term the flesh. It is the Greek word sarke. And so what does he mean by that? Is what are the things that we need to avoid? And so John says you need to avoid the desires of the flesh, but you need to understand that the flesh is not just sexual desires, it's many times all human desires. And so what are these things we desire? We desire money. So we have greed. Those are some of the desires of our flesh. We lust after things, whether they be a man or a woman. We have passions for having wealth and for having things like power. These are the human desires. And he's saying, guys, don't have these human desires, but rather have these godly desires. You need to seek after God. You need to be filled with the Spirit versus having these ungodly human desires. And if anything draws you away from God, if there's any kind of interest, if there's any kind of passion, if there's any kind of desire, if there's any kind of want that draws you away from God, these are the things that John tells you to avoid. So in this new year, in this new time, what are those desires that are taking your time? What are those desires that take your passion? What are those desires that you give your money to? And I want to know, are these things aiding your relationship with God, or are they hurting that relationship with God? So John tells us, warns us, hey, be careful of the desires of the flesh. And he takes it a little bit further, and he gives us a second category. And he says, not only do you need to avoid the desires of the flesh, but you also need to avoid the desires of the eyes. And you're like, John, what's the difference? What's difference between what's the difference between the desires of the flesh and the desires of our eyes? The desires of our eyes are the things that we tend to covet. What do you look at and want? That's maybe not what God wants for you to have. Maybe it's not the person God wants for you to have. Maybe it's not the job that God wants you to have. What are you coveting? Someone's friendship? Are you coveting someone's spouse? Are you coveting someone's children or maybe grandchildren? Do you want their job? Do you want their home? Maybe it's their car or boat or RV, whatever it is. And your eyes see that and you want it. And John is saying, be careful of the desires of your eyes. But he goes a little bit deeper in that the eyes are not just the way that we see things, but it is also something that goes a little bit further. The eyes are often a metaphor for sinful passion. You think about this. When you go back to the book of Genesis and the first chapters of Genesis, I think chapter three, we get to what we call the fall. And in the fall, you have the story of Adam and Eve. And Eve is there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God has said, eat anything you want, just don't eat that. Don't eat from this tree. And she encounters the serpent, or she encounters Satan. And Satan begins to tempt her, and he begins to twist God's word and begins to ask questions. And she looks at the fruit, and it says, and it was pleasing to her eyes. So she took it, and she ate it. If you go to the book of 1 Samuel, you see another story about David. And David sends his men out to war, and he goes up on the rooftop of his palace, and he is looking over, and he sees a beautiful woman taking a bath. And he looks at her, and she was pleasing to his eyes. And just like Eve took the fruit and ate it, David calls her over, spends the night with her. They have a child, which ends up leading to David having her husband murdered. His child dies, and his life is never the same. Our eyes often see, and they are pleased by sinful pleasures. And they are pleased by sinful passions. And John is saying, guys, saying, ladies, my children, I love you. Be careful about what you see and what you are pursuing. Our eyes, our flesh, often drive us to pursue the things that are totally antithetical to God, that push us away from God, that calls us to sin and to run from his holiness and his goodness and his love for us. So John says, avoid these things. And then he goes on to give us one more area where we need to avoid, and that is pride in your own lifestyle. Pride. Pride is an interesting thing. Pride is something that we normally, or that we all tend to have, and normally we don't see it in ourselves. Pride is one of those secret sins that captivate us, and that's crouching and is waiting to just devour us. Pride causes us to make stupid decisions and boastful pledges. Pride is talked about often in Scripture. God tells us in the Proverbs, pride goes before the fall, because pride gives us a false perspective of what the truth is. Pride causes us to boast and to offer much more than we can really do. And pride is one of those things that when you look around has been the reason that nations have fallen and great men have been brought to their knees. And none of them realized they had a problem with pride. So John says, guys, you gotta be conscious of what you are prideful of. Prideful of your life and your lifestyle. And we are prideful and we boast about our abilities and we boast about our job and we boast about our house and our material possessions. And that is part of what John is saying. Hey, be careful of all this boasting about what you have. Where do you boast? What do you put your pride in? It's interesting. Paul is quite the opposite on our boasting, or rather, he's right in line with John when he says, "Hey, I've got a great past. Man, I was a Jew of a Jew. I was a Pharisee. When it came to the law, I was really, really obedient. I can trace my lineage all the way back to the tribe of Benjamin." When it comes to being a Jew, I am one of the best you can find. And I took pride in it. And then Paul says, but now it's all for nothing. It's all a pile of dung when it comes to the things of Christ. Therefore, if I will boast, I will boast in God, not in myself. I will boast in my weakness because it demonstrates his strength. It's totally opposite to what the world boasts in. It's totally opposite to people who are not centered on Christ boast in. People who are not centered on Christ boast in their abilities or their money or their toys. People who are centered on Christ boast in his ability to make them strong when they are weak. They boast in their persecution. They boast in their Savior. And so I wonder for you, what is your pride grounded in? Is it grounded in your education? Is it grounded in your family? Is it grounded in your bank account? Is it grounded in your place of employment, or is it grounded in your Savior? And John gives us this warning, hey, be careful what you desire. Avoid the desires of the world. Avoid these fleshly desires. Avoid the desires of the eyes, and avoid boasting in your lifestyle. And then he's going to tell us, instead of those things, you should really, really submit to the desires of God. And by submitting to the desires of God, we understand why these things are foolish. And he gives us two reasons why in the ending verses of this text of why we should avoid these desires of the flesh and these desires of the eyes and boasting in your lifestyle. The first reason is that they don't come from God. They don't originate from God. And if you want to be someone who walks in the Spirit and not in the flesh, you have got to seek God. Seek who He is and know His will and know His word. They don't originate with God, and so they should be avoided. The second reason why they should be avoided is because they're doomed. These things are going to pass away. The world will end, and those things are going to be of no consequence. Nobody's going to care where you worked. No one's going to care about how great your relationship was. No one's going to care about how many toys you had. It's going to all pass away. But not one letter of the Word of God will be destroyed. So we submit to the desires of God rather than desires of man. We pursue the things of God rather than the things of man. Why? Because they come from God and they last forever. This world is fading away. We will all die one day. And the old phrase, you can't take it with you. So why will we boast in things that are not eternal? God says, store up your treasure in vessels that will not break down, where moths cannot destroy. Instead, lay up your treasures in heaven. So we avoid the desires of the flesh, but rather we submit to the desires of God. It's interesting when it comes to this. Oftentimes we take a couple of different paths. One thing is that we isolate ourselves from the world. We say, I'm not going to watch any TV. I'm not going to read any books. I'm not going to listen to any music. I'm not going to interact with anyone. I'm not going to be influenced by anybody. And so we build up these walls and we turn inward, away from everything else. And too often, people in the church refuse to be friends with the world because they are so afraid of being contaminated by the world. And we refuse to do what God called us to do, and that is to make disciples. Because we built these walls. We say, you can't come in because you're going to make me dirty. The other side, the other extreme, is that we tell everyone that they're wrong, that they are horrible for not following after God, and we beat them down with the Bible, and we don't show them any grace. We tell them, you are affecting me, and you are bad. So we can either build walls or we could tell people off. I think we should probably take more of a middle ground. Pursue the things of God, but love people. Avoid the desires, the passions, the ethics of the world, the things that the world boasts in, and boast in Christ. Make him the most important thing in your life. Will you do that this year? Will you tear down some of those walls so that you can be able to minister to people who need it? Will you temper your truth with grace so that you can reach those who need to hear the gospel? All the while avoiding the desires of the world and pursuing the passions of God. I want you to know something. These are not suggestions by John. These are commands. And because they're in Scripture, they're commands by God. These aren't just good teaching. These aren't just best practices. These are the commands of God. Avoid the world and pursue him. As they play, will you stand and respond to God? Maybe you need to commit this year to him. Maybe you need to commit to avoiding the things of the world and pursuing the things of God. Maybe you need to give your life to him and begin this process of getting to know him, really knowing him. What does this new year look like for you? Will you run to the things of the world? Or will you submit to the desires of God?